Why do ministry anyway? Why do ministry? Might sound like a funny question. Why do ministry? Why do we do ministry? And I'm assuming when I say that I'm speaking to all of us, that we're all ministers in one sense of the word. You have these special callings, I believe, that God puts on certain people to be pastors, to be priests or rabbis or, if you want to just kind of branch out into all aspects of Christianity. And we say, oh, they're the ministers. And sometimes the feeling is they do the ministry and the rest of us watch, But it's really a faulty philosophy. And you know that. We know from the Apostle Paul talking about this. If you were to turn to me in Ephesians, I didn't have this up on your notes, but Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul talked about this. He says in verse 11 of Ephesians 4, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. And from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." And Paul liked to talk about the church as the body of Christ. And we're each doing our part. And the body gets stronger and stronger and more mature. And it represents Jesus, Jesus being the head. But you'll notice that he says, "I've given prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, but what is their job? Their job is to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up." So that's the Bible definition of ministry, is the pastors, teachers, evangelists. They do ministry on their own, but part of their job, or even the major focus of their job, is equipping the rest of the body of Christ. And so that's what I want to ask ourselves. Okay, that's how the church should operate, all of us in ministry in some respect. And you know, when the Lord lays something on your heart, you know you're supposed to do it, whatever that is. And it could be even temporary, or it could be permanent. It could be several things, or it could be one thing. I've been around long enough that I don't try to tell people what their ministry is. God tells them, and then it always works better that way, and he shows them what to do. And sometimes people need training and some direction, and that's what pastors and evangelists and those called to do that can give extra training and direction. But it's their ministry, and they feel God's calling on their lives. But some people in Paul's day, they said to him, "Paul, why are you trying to tell us what to do? And who are you to write these letters to us and tell us this and tell us that?" And they even accused him of not being a Christian. These were the people in Corinth that he had a lot of trouble with. There's a lot in the Corinthian letters that we learn about the church, because Paul was trying to teach the church and the church was resisting him. So in the book of Corinthians, you can learn a lot about what Paul said and how he thought about what is the ministry of the church. So as we are going forward in our relationship together, I thought, well, let's go to foundational things. Why do we do ministry? And you may say, well, you know, this is just a piece of cake to me. Well, and it may be, but sometimes it's good to just go over stuff that you already know. And who knows, you might learn something new. I love to learn, and I love it when I hear something new that I've never heard before, and I add that. So let's add some things if we can this morning. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 9. I actually have 11 up there, but I want to go to verse 9 first. Paul had just got done saying that when I'm in the body, I'm away from the Lord. But if I'm away, you know, if I'm with the Lord, I'm away from the body. If I'm with the body, I'm with the Lord. You know, he was saying that. And then he said, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Just to stop for a moment and keep yourself there. I'm going to continue in a minute. But many years ago, when I was in seminary, and Randy and I went to the same seminary, and I remember I would, you know, even though you're going to seminary, that's the graduate degree, excuse me, and I've got my water here. Even when you're going through that program, many people think, oh, you're just having a good old time, everything's hunky-dory, and you're just as happy as a clam studying the Bible and theology and church administration and counseling and all those things. And, oh, boy, aren't they lucky to go to that school? And most of the time I was happy, but there were times where I went through tremendous struggles. It could have been struggle within my family. It could have been a financial struggle. It could have been just, you know, I don't know if the devil was working on me, but I questioned everything in my life, where I was going, what I was doing. Am I supposed to be here or not, you know, in this thing? And we had chapel about, 3 days a week or something. And I went into chapel that day. It's a beautiful chapel, the stained glass windows and the pipe organ and the whole thing. And I sat in there and I thought, Lord, I'm about ready to just give up. I'll just do something else with my life. Maybe I'll just go and find a job in business somewhere. I'll dig ditches. I'll be a salesperson. I'll do something, you know. But this is too hard. It's too long. It's too involved. And I don't even know if you want me to do this. And Dr. Deasley was preaching that day, and he's a British man. I think he's probably passed away by now, but if he's not, he's way up there in age. And in his British accent, he did this exact scripture right here, and he said, he said verse 9, he said, so we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. And I thought, oh, that's it. I've been getting this all very complicated. Here I was thinking I have to get this degree, or I have to serve this great church, and I have to go across the water and be a missionary. I have to become Billy Graham or some great preacher. And it all came down to this scripture for me. So we make it our goal, and in the King James, if you're used to that, I think it says we make it our aim, or maybe that was another version. We make it our aim, our goal. That's what we're aiming for. That's what we're shooting for. That's where we're trying to go, is we make it our goal to please God. Whether we're here or whether we're there, we make it our goal. Doesn't that kind of simplify things? Doesn't that take it right down to the nubs? You know, it's just my goal, your goal, every Christian's goal is to just please God. That's just not that complicated. So whatever God has in your life, make it your goal to please Him and don't complicate it. And when I got that back in 1987, 8 or 9 or somewhere in there, I was there for 3.5 years going through that degree. And I from that point on, I had a spring in my step and I knew what I was doing. I was pleasing God. don't have to complicate it, folks. And so that is something I want you to get here in this message. Because we're all going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to appear before Jesus, and He's going to judge us. And I don't know what all that's going to involve. But if I dedicate myself to pleasing God, then I'm not worried about what anybody says to me. I'm not worried about what people try to criticize me or say I'm not doing or I should be doing. I'm doing what God calls me to do. And you should do the same thing. All of us, that's our goal, to please God. And when you have that, everything else falls into place. So when you get into the scripture there in verse 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it's also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we're convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And He died for all that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And then if you just go into the next chapter, just a couple verses, because He didn't have chapter divisions in His day. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of My favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. That's a long scripture. I'm going to pull out about 4 ideas today that's on your sheet. And then next week, I left blank, it's point B, because I don't want you to know where I'm going next week. But come back and find out. Next week, it's something in Christ. And then the next week, something with Christ. And then the next week, something of Christ. Today we're talking about ambassador. That's the point A today that you're filling in. Ambassador for Christ. And then four tasks of an ambassador. And you see these filled in for you. Citizen of another country. Already in God's kingdom, but not completely. No message of one's own. Reconciliation and so forth. So let's talk about an ambassador for a moment.
The kingdom of God is near.
When we're an ambassador, we have no authority of our own. There is absolutely no authority of our own. When I am an ambassador, when they make an ambassador from the United States to somebody, that ambassador is not only don't they have their own message, they don't have their own authority. Their authority, such as it is, comes from the country that they're, from which they're being sent. So we have, like in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, Isaiah says to God, "Here am I, send me." God says, "Okay, I'm going to send you. You're going to go preach to these people and they're not going to listen to you." Okay, that's another story. It's great to be a preacher and God says, "You're going to preach, but nobody's going to listen to you." Most of us preachers think that somebody's going to listen. But God said, "Nobody's going to listen to you, Isaiah." So that's a tough gig when you get it. Okay, so... And then, but this sending is a biblical thing. God sends people and sends them to go and tell. I just remembering, Daryl, Jonah was sent to Nineveh. And Jonah said, "I'm not going. Those people are mean." And he took off. And God provided a nice little submarine for him to live in for a while. And then spit him up out of the ground and got his attention and said, "Now, seaweed wrapped around his head, go to Nineveh and do what I told you." So Jonah did go. And I think we might all have a little bit of Jonah in us, where we maybe not always just run off to do what God told us to do. But folks, if you're in that argument stage with God, trust me, I've been there. It doesn't work. God always wins. So just go ahead and obey God, and go where he sends you. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me. Now I'm saying to you, go into all the world." Does all mean all? All means all, doesn't it? Go into all the world and make disciples of all people. Does all mean all? Okay, I guess that's why we have missionaries, isn't it? Because we're going into all the world with and just making disciples of all people and teaching them all the stuff that I've taught you. Does all mean all? Yeah, that means the whole Bible, everything that you've been taught. And behold, I will be with you always. It's another form of that all. Always until the end of the age. So, and then he says to his disciples, "As God sent me, I'm sending you." Oh, so you mean Jesus' mission is my mission. Jesus' sending is my sending. So God sends Jesus, Jesus sends you. All right? And he says, "I'll make you," the old phrase is "fishers of men." "But I will send you out to fish for people." I will send you out to fish for people. So, if you've ever entertained the idea that, well, I watched the pastor too. Am I still on? Am I still on? Are you hearing my voice? So, the sending is just a... just very much part of the Christian experience. And when somebody asks you, "By what authority?" You don't have to get a bachelor's degree. You don't have to get a master's degree. You don't have to get a doctoral degree. You don't have to study a million things. If you can just get a hold of the basics of the gospel of what Jesus did, and you tell others about him, that's what you need. And you can be an ambassador for Jesus. And then the last point is, the goal of an ambassador is peace. The mission is peace. Peace with God, that's Romans 5:1. Love, joy, and peace as the fruit of the Spirit, amongst other fruit. The peace of God, Paul says in Philippians 4:7, bring all of your requests to God with thanksgiving. Present everything to him, and the peace of God, that means God's special peace, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever felt like you're going to lose your mind? Have you ever felt like, I'm at the edge? I think I need a doctor. I need help. Let him take the worry off of your hands. Oh, there's many times, folks, where I need to just give God all of my troubles and all of the stuff that comes at me. I can't go a day without giving God everything so that I can be free from the weight on my shoulders. And you, no doubt, are like me, and we need to do that. And so when we have the peace with God, peace of God, and peace with others, then as ambassadors, we're spreading peace. I think this is my little commentary. You can take it as you want. And relationship building. And I've had to learn so many things in my life. I imagine you've learned a lot of those things too, about how to be in good relationships with others. But if you've kind of forgotten that, revisit all of these scriptures and look at how to be an ambassador for Christ. Be a good citizen of the kingdom, giving the message of reconciliation, doing what Jesus said and going where he tells us to go under his authority, and having peace with God, of God, and with others. And then next week, we'll talk about something else. It's in this scripture here, 2 Corinthians 5:11 through the end of that chapter. I'm pulling out these four ideas. Today it was, we're ambassadors for Christ. Paul says something else about us in these scriptures. He says three more things that I think are big ideas that we need to get a hold of. And it will help us. Why do we do ministry? Well, one of the major reasons is God has sent us. We're ambassadors. That's why we do this. Sometimes people ask me, why don't you people just leave us alone? Why don't you Christians just go in your church and just huddle in your church and just don't mess with us? We have our lives. I'm sorry, my friends, whoever you are that's saying that to me, I have a mandate. I have a mission. I cannot disobey God. He says go. So I'm going. I'm going to this community. I'm going to wherever I need to be going to tell people about Jesus. So that's, if anybody says that to you and tries to squelch you and put you in your corner or put you in your place, they say, look, there's all kinds of scriptures that tell us to go and share the gospel, and that's what I'm doing. So that's number one, and we'll talk about the other three over the next 3 weeks.